Good morning, everyone. Lovely to be with you on this delightful summer's day. Isn't it great? We're currently staying in a caravan around the corner, and our caravan is over 20 years old and is a proper leaky old bucket. And I've spent the last couple of weeks painting it and trying to make it all beautiful and putting bunting around, and basically it's all pointless, right, because it's just going to be sodden. But never mind, the kids still love it. It's all an adventure. In case you don't know me, my name is Ashley, and I've been here at the Chichester site for quite a long time now, about 10 years as well, so it's lovely to be with you this morning. This year, probably like many of you, I have spent more time on the internet than I probably should have, right? And I've discovered this dude who runs a Facebook and a Twitter account called Very British Problems. I don't know if anyone's come across him before, but he's really funny. And it chronicles all the painfully awkward British social interactions that we have, like the horror that we might feel if we're in a group situation and we're asked to just say a little bit about yourselves. And you go, oh. Or the church equivalent would be, you know, back in the day before social distancing, that bit between notices and the preach when you're told to go and say hello to somebody new. And you go, oh, I really don't want to. So it's all those kinds of things. And he recently published this book called Born to be Mild, which just encapsulates so much of our very British awkwardness. And I'm going to read an excerpt about the awkwardness of British banter. See if you can relate to this. He says, I spy a lady cleaning the outside of her house windows. She turns to smile at me. Here's my chance. Here I go. Keep scrubbing. I shout at her in a friendly way. But she flinches. Maybe it didn't sound friendly. I'm already so sorry. In case you missed that, I said, keep scrubbing. Keep scrubbing. I mean, I have my headphones in, so I'm not even sure if I said that. Maybe I just shouted scrubber at her. I can't remember. It's possible. Anything's possible. Oh, this is dreadful. I must try never to banter again. And this makes me laugh, because I can really see myself in it. I sometimes feel really awkward in those social situations or feeling confident talking to people that particularly that I don't know very well. And I don't know if this is particularly a British thing, but I do think there is an element of truth to this. Because in our natural state, I think most of us aren't actually that bold. But we are called to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to our friends, to our family, to our neighbours, and to people who we don't even know. And praise God for it, right? Because if no one had told us about Jesus, then how would we have even known about it? We wouldn't know that we are forgiven. We wouldn't know that we can be redeemed and restored to God. So we know, don't we, that sharing the gospel is so important. But does anyone else ever hear this and kind of just shrivel up inside themselves and think, oh, please don't ask me to do it? So how do we go about overcoming our natural state of being really mild-mannered and very conscious not to offend to being bold for the gospel? So we're going to continue our preaching series this morning on prayers of the saints, and we're going to be looking at Acts 4 to see what we can learn from how the early believers had boldness and went about doing this. So before we dive straight in, the passage is going to come up and we're going to read from it together, but I'm just going to give a bit of context and background about this passage. So Acts 4, it's at the beginning of the book. Jesus, he has risen from the dead, been among them for a while, and ascended back to heaven. And the disciples and the believers are getting used to life without him, and they have really recently had been filled with the Spirit in an incredible way on the day of Pentecost. And they've drawn a real crowd, and Peter declares the truth to these crowds about Jesus and about how he saved them. And we're told that 3,000 people believed and repented and were added to that number that day. And the Church of Christ is born. It's absolutely brilliant. It's an amazing day. And then a few days later, Peter and John, they're going to the temple, and they see this guy who's begging on the floor, and he's lame. He can't walk. And he asks them for money. And Peter says to him, look, I don't have any money, but what I do have, I'm going to give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. And he does. And he is so excited. He is jumping and he is praising God. And the Bible tells us that people are literally running to see what has been happening. And then Peter, he declares, he gives them the gospel again, but this time he holds absolutely nothing back. And he is brutal with the crowd, right? He absolutely rips them a new one. He says that despite the fact that they were the ones who handed Jesus over to be killed, despite the fact that they killed the very author of life himself, they can repent and turn back to God through Jesus. And so many people heard this message and believed on this day that their number grew to 5,000. And it's at this point that the authorities are going into panic mode. They've tried to kill Jesus. They've killed Jesus. They think it might be over, and it's not. The momentum is just getting started. They have no idea yet what's still to come. And so they seize Peter and John, and they throw them into jail. And the next day, they bring them out before the authorities, who command them not to teach or speak in the name of Jesus at all. And these are the same people who crucified Jesus very recently. So it sounds kind of problematic for them, right? But Peter and John are having none of it. And they reply, "What's right in God's eyes? To listen to you or to listen to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." And so Peter and John, they go back to their friends and they tell them what's happened and they get them together and they pray. So we're going to spend a little bit of time. This is where we're going to jump into the passage now. We're going to spend some time looking at this, looking at how they gathered the believers together and how they prayed. So let's take a look at the passage. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. "Sovereign Lord," they said, "you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Now, the believers found themselves in a really scary, dangerous situation. They were going around declaring the truth of the gospel despite a really, really real danger to their lives. And I think sometimes when reading these accounts of what's been happening, that it can sound as though they were almost kind of cocky in their refusal to submit to any authority when telling the gospel. But actually, I really love this description of boldness. Boldness is not reckless impulsiveness. Boldness requires courage to press on through our fears and do what we know is right. And that's from the Tyndale Life Application Study Bible. And I just think that's fabulous. Because it's not about having a cavalier attitude or about being reckless. And just to be absolutely crystal clear, nor is it about insulting or offending people without regard. Right? Because we're called to love, aren't we? But it is about having the courage to press on through our fears and do what we know is right. So we're going to spend some time considering why the believers needed to pray for this and then looking at how they prayed and what we can learn from that from ourselves. So what was the purpose of the believers' prayer in this passage? What were they actually trying to do? Well, they prayed quite simply so that people could know Jesus. See, we are called to proclaim the good news of Jesus and praise God for it, because if no one had ever told us, we wouldn't know it. We wouldn't know the freedom that we have in knowing that Jesus, the very author of life himself, died for us so that we could be forgiven. And I don't know about you, but I can't even imagine going back to a life where I didn't know that I was forgiven. It genuinely makes me want to cry. Knowing that I might not be able to trust God for every single part of my life. Knowing that there is a man who is seated on the throne next to God who fights for me, it's such a privilege to know these things. And you see, Peter and John, they were so passionate about sharing the gospel that they were willing to go to jail for it and even die for it. But what do you risk in witnessing, in telling people the good news about Jesus? Is it embarrassment? It might be rejection from your family or from your friends. I mean, we're unlikely to be killed for it in pleasant old Chichester, where we live. That's very blessed for us to be in that position. There's a lot of people in the world who aren't in that position. See, this is something, though, that I used to struggle with for years. And I remember being in this beautiful gold-covered church in a little village on the outskirts of Rome several years ago. And there was this old woman, and she was bent, like absolutely bent double, over this beautiful gold statue of a saint. And she was crying in front of it, and she was bringing offerings to this statue. And as I looked around this church, I saw lots of people all over who were petitioning. And the guide told us that they were asking the saints to take their petitions to God. And I stood there in this church, and I wept. And I was so sad for these people. I just wanted to take them and say to them, don't you know? Don't you know? Jesus has done this for you already. He has made the path. You don't have to petition anyone or go to any shiny statue because Jesus has done it for you. But of course I didn't. I just stood in that place and my heart broke because I desperately wanted them to know how to reach God. But they couldn't reach him. And I was really angry as well. You know, I was angry at this lie that had placed a barrier between themselves and God where no barrier existed anymore. And I could have, and I should have said something. But of course, I didn't say a word. And you know, I still wonder to this day, what would have happened if I'd have just gone to that woman and told her the truth? See, I used to be really terrified of talking about Jesus to people. And the thought of it almost paralyzed me, and I would break into this cold sweat, and it was so bad that at one point I went up for prayer. I mean, it doesn't have to be bad to go up for prayer, right? You can do it even when it's mild. But I went up for prayer back at the old Grace Center about this, and the woman who was praying with me said, oh, everyone's frightened about that. And I was like, no, I'm really frightened about this. And she prayed with me, and you know, God, in his incredible graciousness, totally took that fear away. Totally. Now, I'm not saying I don't still find it really awkward to do that sometimes, and it's definitely not like my number one favourite thing to do on a Saturday night, but the fear is gone. Now, some people, they won't hear you, okay? They just won't. And we know that that's going to happen. That's what happened in this passage in the Bible when the lame man was walking around. The authorities, they saw it. The evidence was indisputable, and they still refused to believe. And so don't be surprised if some people still reject you, but don't give up. Always remember that you are here because somebody was bold enough to tell you about Jesus. So how? How do we go then from paralyzing silence to boldly proclaiming the word of God to people who are frankly desperate to hear it, even if they don't realize that they are? Well, we pray. The Holy Spirit filled these guys. They filled the believers, and they went from place to place holding nothing back. So we've looked at why they prayed, and now we're going to look at how they did this. So, and see what we can learn from them. Let's have a look. So the first thing that they did was they asked the Holy Spirit to help them to speak with boldness. Now, not many of us are born naturally bold. I think it can be really easy to look around, can't it, and think that everyone else is. But I think also we're just perhaps really good at pretending that we are to each other. I look at what Peter and John have just been doing, and I don't think they particularly need any more boldness, right? They seem to have the courage of lions to me already. But what do? They go back and they ask for more boldness. Now, Lord, they say, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Now, I'm going to invite Andrea up. Andrea, can you come up? Where's Andrea? Oh, she's back in the end there. So Andrea is one of the most inspirational women that I know when it comes to sharing the gospel with people, right? She's a part of our life group. She's giving me a look. She's a part of our life group, and every time she sits around our dinner table, she's telling us stories about how she's sharing the gospel as casually as if she's telling you that she went and got some milk from Tesco's. And it's incredible conversations that she has. So, but she wouldn't describe herself as particularly bold. So, Andrea, thank you for joining us. See, look how nervous she is. She doesn't even like it. Would you describe yourself, Andrea, as being really bold or not perhaps so bold? How would you describe yourself? Come talk a little bit closer to here.
Yeah, I am terrified of talking in front of people and really scared. I freeze. My heart is pumping in my throat even now. So I don't like it. I'm quite timid and shy person.
So how is it then? Every time I speak to you, you're talking to us about either maybe a Muslim in the community who you've befriended and you're telling them very clearly about Jesus, somebody at work. Could you give us maybe a couple of examples of how you've shared the gospel recently?
Yes, so basically what I do, I can't do it from my own strength, that's for sure. And I pray to God to help me and give me strength, give me wisdom, what to say, who to talk to, and what to say. And he does help me. He just helps me really every time, and he gives me the wisdom, what to say in conversation. So, okay, to give an example. I'll give this one because it just happened actually a couple of days ago that I met with this old friend of mine, and he went away to Wales and then he came back, and he has a health issue. In fact, he has bladder cancer, he told me when we were having a conversation. Now, he did come to church and he did Alpha here. You know Sarah, John, we're talking about. And he is just incredibly stubborn guy, and I just really don't understand how the end of the Alpha still says, nope, I don't believe in God. So, obviously, he's in a vulnerable situation. He has cancer, and he doesn't know what's going to happen, how long he's going to live. We were talking about God again. And he, you know, I talked to him about the good news, because I tend to tell the people the good news, not the bad one, that, okay, if you don't believe in God, you will go to hell. So I said to him, you know, about heaven and Jesus and God, and he said to me that, you know, well, this Jesus is all the others. I said, what do you mean? He's like all the other prophets. I said, no, because Jesus said he's the Son of God. Which other prophet said he's the Son of God? He said, none. I said, exactly. So I said, he's the Son of God, and, you know, he's different, and, you know, as we were talking about that. And then he said to me about, oh, so what happens when with the bad people? I said, well, if there is heaven, unfortunately, I have to say, John, there is hell as well. So the bad people, you know, who don't believe in God, really, that's what he meant, the bad people, who don't believe in Jesus, I'm afraid they will go to hell. So, you know, he kind of got a bit thinking about that one. But I said to him, look, John, look, don't worry, don't be scared. You know, basically, what I said to him, that even if you don't go to church, even if you don't pray, I said, please, just do one thing. On your last breath of your deathbed, that's what I said to him, please proclaim Jesus is your Lord. Ask for forgiveness. Say that you accept him as your Lord and Savior, and then you will go to heaven. You will be fine. So he kind of listened. I don't know, you know, I just don't know what. And he said to me, I know what I'm going to say with the last breath of mine. I'm going to beep, beep, and he swore. That's what I'm going to do. But I mean, you just don't know. God asked me to say this to him, and I did. So you just leave it to God, really, because the rest is God's job, really.
Lovely. Thank you very much, Andrea. That's really helpful. Thank you. So you see, we don't have to be biblical scholars or incredibly wise or learned people. Peter and John weren't. They didn't have any formal training. But what did they have that made them special? They had the power of the Holy Spirit. Like Andrea was just saying, you know, she feels really shy. She's not naturally outspoken, but she prays. She asks God to show her who to talk to and when to talk to them. And God gives her that. The disciples, they had the power of the Holy Spirit, and they asked for it. They specifically asked for it, and they were giving it in abundance, and thousands upon thousands of people were saved. Now, the second thing that we can learn from how the disciples prayed is that when you look at this prayer, most of what they were praying is scripture. Most of it isn't given over to petitioning God, but to reminding God about what he has said. They remind God of his history. They remind him that he made everything and he's in control. They remind him about the words that their ancestor, David, had said. And sometimes I look at this in the Bible, because you see it quite a lot, people praying scripture, and I can think it seems a bit odd, because God knows what he said, right? This constant reminding God about what he said. He knows what's happened. He knows what he has promised. But actually, learning to pray scripture is incredibly powerful. And Jesus models it to us as well. And it's how we're called to pray. Because it can really help in those times when you feel you have no words left to pray yourselves, that we can fall back on truth that has already been spoken. And declaring truth really helps to stir our hearts to know what to ask for. It reminds us that God is in control. It reminds us of the bigger picture, and it helps us to look up from ourselves and instead to look to the kingdom. You see, the believers in this passage, they were praying for the Spirit, but they were speaking truth. They were drawing on the word. This is Spirit and word together, and it is really powerful. The next thing that we're going to look at that the disciples prayed for is that they prayed for help with the situation and not for the situation itself to be removed. You see, they praised God, they told him of their specific problem, and then they asked him to help them to deal with it. But it's really important here to notice what they didn't do. They didn't ask God to take the problem away. And I think that's really significant, because sometimes as Christians, we can be praying and praying for God to just make the problem stop, make it go away. And sometimes he doesn't. And you can feel like you're banging your head against a wall. And why isn't he listening and just making it all stop? But actually, at no point here in this passage do the believers do that. They don't ask for it. Instead, they prayed for their own faithfulness to increase. That was the focus of what they were praying for. They're asking for God to help them to deal with the situation. And they do so not so that their lives are going to be made easier and that these pesky authorities will just leave them alone and stop trying to kill them. No, they're doing it so that God can be glorified. Because that is the goal. That is the only goal. We are here to glorify our Maker and Creator. And we can follow this model when we pray. And of course, we can ask God to remove our problems too, okay? Like Jesus himself does that on the night of his crucifixion. He's in the garden and he prays, "Lord, please take this cup of suffering away from me, if it's your will." And, you know, sometimes God will do that. But it's also really important to recognize that often God may leave the problem, but instead give us the strength and the courage that we need to be able to deal with it so that he will be glorified. And if we pray for that, God will give us that. And the last lesson that I'm going to talk about in this passage is that they prayed together when times got tough. They went away, they were arrested. The first thing they did was they got back with their friends and their fellow believers and they gathered them together to pray. They didn't try and deal with this independently or just by themselves in any way whatsoever. See, we have regular prayer meetings here at Grace Church, and they are absolutely fantastic. It's really, really good to do this. We have prayer meetings in the evening. Sometimes we meet on Monday mornings at the moment on Zoom to pray together. We pray at life groups. There's lots of opportunities to do that. But this was a little bit different. This wasn't a preset prayer meeting. When things got scary, they spontaneously met together and they prayed. Now, a little while ago, a group of ladies and myself from Grace Centre, we were doing a course together at the time, and we started meeting together regularly, and we were supposed to be meeting for mentorship with each other. But actually, what it turned into was just the most beautiful, holy, and special, incredible time for each of us. You see, When you pray together regularly with people that you trust, there is an intimacy that comes from that with one another. And we began to share things with each other that went deep. Like we talked about our marriages. We talked about things in our lives that we were fearful of. And the Holy Spirit moved amongst us really powerfully. We spoke scripture over each other. We prophesied over each other. And, you know, sometimes God transformed the situations in our lives, and sometimes he didn't. But every single time, we were transformed. We never left that place the way that we arrived. And now, several years later, I know that actually, if times get tough, that I can, and in fact, I do, call upon these women, and I can just immediately deep dive with them. You know, there's no, oh, how are you? Oh, things are fine, thanks, even though everything is crashing down around, but it's marvelous, how are you? No, like, we can just go straight to it, straight into it. Because there is a sweetness and an intimacy that comes from praying together regularly with other believers, corporately, through the Holy Spirit together. And in this passage, right, the believers, they aren't praying for wishy-washy stuff. It's not like, oh God, would you make us good? Would you stop all the wars and make the world a better place? It's like, no, this is stuff that is going on for them right now. This was an emergency situation for them. See, there is power in praying with each other. And so I would really encourage you to find someone or a small group of someones to pray with regularly. And then just watch what God does in your lives and see how you are transformed as a person. But the point of praying together isn't just for our own blessing, right? It's no good just having a holy huddle that makes us feel all warm and cozy together. I mean, that's nice. But the believers, they got together and they prayed hard. They reminded God of his promises and of his goodness. They called on him to fill them with boldness. But remember the purpose of this prayer? They did it for the purposes of leaving that place and going back out and preaching the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ to people who were desperate to hear it. And by praying together, they strengthened each other so that they could go back out and continue preaching with courage. And this passage ends by telling us after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God. Word of God, boldly. See, the Holy Spirit didn't come on them automatically, but in response to their very expectant prayers. God gave them lavishly what they asked for. You see, we may once have been born to be mild, but we are born again through Christ. Right? That was the old life. This is the new. We are now born to be bold for the gospel. And if you feel that you don't have it, then pray for it. Boldness is a gift from God, and it is one that he wants to give to you. See, Peter and John, their passion for Jesus was so strong that they couldn't keep quiet even when they were threatened with death. And if your own courage to witness for God has weakened, then pray that it will increase. And if you want to have courage, but you feel like you simply don't have it, then pray the Holy Spirit will give it to you. Band, do you want to come up? It'd be great. Should we all stand? Actually, because we're just going to spend a little bit of time responding to this and praying for it. And all the songs that we've been singing this morning have just made my heart sing in so many ways because we've been praying for this the whole morning. We've been singing, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm a child of God. So we're going to spend a little bit of time praying about this. If you would like prayer for this. If this is something that you feel that you really struggle with in your life and you would like to be transformed, then I would encourage you just put out your hands wherever you are. Or if you feel this is something you just want more of, then again, let's just open our arms to receive. I'm going to pray. Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. Lord, you sent your Son to die for us so that we could be forgiven and restored to you. Thank you, Lord, that we know you, and thank you that we know you because you place people in our lives to tell us about you, Father God. Lord, you know our hearts, you know where each one of us is. Father, would you pour out your Holy Spirit now. Would you enable us to speak your word with great boldness? Father, would you stretch out your hand to transform people's lives through the name of Jesus Christ? And as we lift up our voices together, Lord, fill us with boldness. Would you give us courage to speak to our friends and to our neighbours and those we don't even know, to tell them the truth about your love so that they might know you, and Lord, so that you might be glorified in this world. And we pray for opportunities to do this today and this week and forever onwards. Would you nudge us and let us see clearly what these are, and then give us your words to speak life. God, we pray that you transform us from the inside out. Where there is fear, Lord, would you remove it right now? Lord, where there is embarrassment, would you transform this into excitement? And where there is shyness, would you transform it into courage? Lord, would you give us everything that we need to bring glory to you? Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.